Some of you have already prepared for tomorrow's liturgy, and that means you know that tomorrow is the Sunday of the Word of God. Those who are having the pondering groups later this morning will also discover that tomorrow is Sunday of the Word of God. And it happens that on the day before that feast which honors the Word, we celebrate a man of the Word, St. Paul the Apostle. Today is the feast of the conversion of St. Paul the Apostle. If you see paintings of St. Paul, he's very often pictured with a sword. And the first reason why there's always a sword in pictures of him is because he was beheaded. So the sword represents his own martyrdom. But the other reason why he's pictured with a sword is because he's an author of the Word of God, and the Word of God is a sword. So he suffered from the sword in his martyrdom, but he also wields the sword as an author. He wrote a very large part of the New Testament, the many letters of St. Paul. Well, we're not celebrating today his martyrdom. That comes up later in the year. But today we're celebrating the beginning of his Christian life, his conversion. There's a painting of it on the song sheet here. You can see the turmoil that is in the painting. Even the horse is confused by the brilliant light shining on St. Paul. In fact, everybody's confused. What's happening here? And Paul, or Saul, is cast down to the ground, wondering, who is this? What's happening here? His conversion is an experience of himself being pierced by the sword. You know what happened after the brilliant light shone on him. Saul heard a voice, and the voice said his name, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" That was a sword already. Saul was being told he's not the righteous Pharisee that he thought he was. He's a persecutor. But Saul doesn't know what's going on, and he says, "Well, who are you, sir? Who are you?" And then the next piercing of the sword, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting." You can imagine how that pierced his soul. And he realized his effort to crush the church was actually persecuting this man, this God, Jesus, who appears to him in glory. Actually, Jesus saying, "Why are you persecuting me? I am Jesus," is an example of what Jesus himself taught when he spoke about how to deal with persecutors. Remember, he said, when someone strikes you on one cheek, turn the other cheek. Don't retaliate, don't punish. And this is what Jesus does to Saul. He doesn't shine a light on him to crush him or to punish him. He shines a light on him to heal him. And to say, "Saul, why are you persecuting me? I am Jesus." He's turning the other cheek and saying, "Saul, don't persecute me. You've already been striking me on one cheek. Now I'm revealing myself to you. Are you going to keep striking me, or are you going to change?" It's a kind of nonviolent approach to dealing with persecutors. And it worked. Saul did change. He no longer persecuted the church. In fact, he turned around 180 degrees and started proclaiming Jesus Christ as the Messiah. A great story of conversion. When we reflect on conversion, which is what this feast day celebrates, we think of not only St. Paul, Saul who became St. Paul, we think of the grace of conversion for everybody. Because all of us are products of conversion and in the process of conversion. Conversion is not just one moment of being struck down with a flash of light or a voice from heaven. Conversion is the whole Christian journey as we turn more and more turn our lives more and more to God. The other very famous conversion in the history of the church is St. Augustine. Probably St. Paul and St. Augustine are the most famous converts, although there are many. But I want to set side by side St. Paul and St. Augustine because we can see that the range of conversion, or how different conversion is for each person, because St. Paul and St. Augustine are very different. and their conversion experience is very different. So that it's good to know that, so that we don't think, oh, we're supposed to be like St. Paul, or we're supposed to have a moment of a dramatic voice from heaven. Maybe, if that's what God does, but maybe not. In the case of St. Augustine, his conversion came after a long and difficult search, a restless pursuit of truth. In the case of St. Paul, a sudden flash of light from heaven. Some conversions are a long, long journey. Some are very sudden and very, very dramatic. In the case of St. Augustine, he lived for years a sinful life. He had a live-in partner, had a child by her. He joined various groups, religions. He was a Manichae for a few years. Then he started trying different philosophies. He was a confused young man. St. Paul, when he was Saul, was not a confused young man or a sinner. He was a very righteous man. He was a super Pharisee. He followed the law perfectly, in his own mind anyway. So Augustine, when he looks back on his life, says, well, I was a sinner. I was an unchaste and wild sinner. And he writes a whole book about it, the conversions. St. Paul, when he looks back on his life, doesn't say, I was a sinner. He wasn't a womanizer or a drunkard. But he was a proud man, and he substituted his own will for the will of God. He had declared that what he thought was the right thing was what God must think was the right thing. That's why when he was converted, he realized, oh, he was completely in the wrong. He was completely in the wrong. He too was a sinner. He even calls himself the worst of sinners. Both Augustine and St. Paul recognize that their conversion is the result of the mercy of God for sinners. It's not the result of being good people or doing the right thing or searching hard enough for the truth. Conversion comes from God first, not from us. And one of the signs of this is that in the case of St. Augustine and in St. Paul, they both have in their story a saint who prayed for them, a saint who interceded for their conversion. In the case of St. Augustine, it's his own mother, St. Monica. St. Monica prayed for her son for years until he finally accepted baptism. In the case of Saul, remember who prayed for him? St. Stephen. St. Stephen, who was martyred in Saul's presence. Saul was right there when Stephen was being stoned, and Saul heard Stephen say, don't hold this sin against them. Don't hold this sin against them. He heard Stephen speak like Jesus himself from the cross, turning the other cheek. He doesn't say this terrible offense, punish them, crush them, condemn them. He said, no, don't hold this sin against them. So that's part of the conversion story of Saul. It's not mentioned in today's reading, but we know that's in the story. What we can gain from reflecting on these two saints and many others is, as I said, conversion is a work of God. Conversion is a gift from God. It's not a human achievement. It's not a crown that we gain. It's a gift. And in order to benefit from the gift, the convert, the person receiving the gift, has to accept it, has to submit himself to God. In the case of St. Augustine, he had to give up his sinful life, which it was very he was very reluctant to do so. But he realized there's no way to be free, there's no way to be happy, unless he submits himself to God. In the case of St. Paul, or in the case of Saul, he realized he was blind. He couldn't understand anything except what he had seen from God. And if he didn't submit to that, his life would have no meaning at all. He says later on, everything I had, I consider so much rubbish, so much garbage. If only I could have life in Christ. That's the gift. In the story of Saul, there's another conversion which we might notice. That is Ananias. And I want to focus on Ananias for a moment now, because the theme we have chosen for today's Mass is actually the Lord's words to Ananias, not the words to Saul, but the words to Ananias about Saul. This man is a chosen instrument of mine. So you know what happened with Ananias. The Lord spoke to him. Came to him in a vision, actually. And he told Ananias, go to Straight Street, go to the house of Judas, and look for a man from Tarsus named Saul. I don't know if the name Judas meant to Ananias what it means to us, but Judas is the betrayer. And then in the same sentence, he hears the name Saul, who he also knows is a persecutor. So Ananias, just hearing those names, would say, oh no, this is bad. This is a bad assignment. And he protests, I can't go to this man. He has come here with the express interest to arrest people like me, to arrest the Christians and drag them back in chains to Jerusalem. So it sounds to Ananias like God is telling him to submit himself to the persecution, to being arrested. And he is frightened by that. His nature is resistant. So he brings up his concern to the Lord. Lord, I've heard all about this man. And the Lord repeats the command, no, you go. Go, for this man is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before Gentiles, kings, and children of Israel. And I will show him what he will have to suffer for my name. So the Lord says, I'm sending you to him, not so that you will suffer, but he will have to suffer as he dedicates himself to serving me. So Ananias is put on the spot here. Will he submit to the will of God or not? That's conversion. Now, Ananias was already a believer, but in order to follow the Lord, to take another step of conversion, he had to submit to this contradictory command, go to Saul. To his credit, he does it. Ananias takes a very great risk. He goes to the house of Judas in Straight Street. He goes to Saul, and the very first thing he does is lay his hands on him, the very thing that Saul wanted to do to the Christians. He wanted to lay hands on them in arrest. He's laying on hands on him in prayer. And then he says, Saul, my brother, the Lord has sent me, Jesus, who appeared to you on the way. So he identifies the persecutor as his brother. See the conversion that has taken place in Ananias? A very risky thing to do. I even consider my persecutor my brother. And I'm going to speak the name of Jesus right in his presence, because that's what the Lord wants me to do. He didn't know if Saul was going to get up and arrest him for even saying the name of Jesus. But as we know what happened, Saul immediately regained his sight, and then he was baptized, and then he got something to eat. And from then on, he was running the race of conversion. Conversion, which is not only for the convert, but for everyone whom the convert is sent to. When someone receives a grace, they are automatically given a responsibility to share grace. Saul was converted. Now he's sent out as an instrument of conversion for the world, and he was a very effective instrument. Go out to all the world and tell the good news. Paul heard that, and he followed it. What does that mean for us? Well, we are the converts here. This feast day is not for Paul. He's already in glory. This feast day is for us. It's a reminder to us of the great grace of conversion. What a great gift it is to know Jesus, to hear his voice in the Word of God, to know his will. And what an important responsibility we have to submit ourselves to his will, to follow his word, so that we will experience conversion, and so that we will be instruments for the conversion of others. So as we recognize the power of the sword piercing Saul's heart, we also realize we ourselves are pierced by the same sword, the word of God, so that we will be set free, and so that we will go forth into the whole world and tell the good news.